Now I'm going to sing the first line of a song, and I want you to sing the next line. And then I'll sing the third line, and I'm not going to tell you what the song is, so I'm depending upon your memory. Let's see how we're doing. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in.
The light of the world is Jesus.
Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee.
Sweetly the light has shone upon me.
Once I was blind, but now I can see.
The light of the world is Jesus.
You know, I think you did fine. Today I'm going to begin a short series of Jesus as we learn from this scripture, from God's word, that Jesus said, what? I am the light of the world. So open your Bibles then to the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. We're going to join Jesus Christ there, for in this passage, he is confronted with a temptation concocted. I like that word concocted because it has in it devious and deceitful messages or nuances. But this was a temptation concocted by the religious leaders of Israel. You know, the religious leaders of Israel had no desire to know wisdom. This is the hallmark of the world. No desire to know wisdom, just a desire to know their own things, but no desire to know the truth of God, for they thought they knew it all. You know, you don't know it all. You know, you make conclusions. There's something on television, and you make conclusions so quickly, and you're not even there. You haven't witnessed anything, and you don't know it all. And you're here this morning because of an admission that you don't know it all, and God knows it all in His book. So they thought they knew it all. So they were interested in bringing accusations upon Jesus Christ, whom they thought to be a false prophet. They came to the conclusion, you know, if they don't believe anyone, then they're a false prophet. They have no truth. So they thought of him as a false prophet come to undermine their position and their power. My, that's what people go after today, is position and power. So we read of this in John 8, 1 through 11. This is a prelude to the scripture that we'll be studying today. But I want you to get a picture of what took place before the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. You know, the word went out. Jesus of Nazareth is here. Haven't you heard what took place in Israel at the hand of this man? Jesus of Nazareth is in the temple court. Let's go see him. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. When's the last time the preacher sat down and taught you? We always stand, don't we? Jesus can sit down because he's the truth. He sat down and taught them, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. My, how they had planned this. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Conflict. They're trying to have conflict. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. This is what they were after. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Wow. What a command. If there's any here without sin, go ahead, pick up the stone, throw it at her. All of you without sin, throw it at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Oh, they thought about the sin in their life. They thought perhaps about the adultery that they committed in their life. They thought about their unbelief. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. The oldest knew. They had many more years of sin than the youngest, so they went out first. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, by the way, where was the man? Where was the man? He got away with it, didn't he? They just brought the poor woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. I can imagine she did it with tears down her eyes because her accusers had all left and she was in fear for her life. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now the assault made by the scribes and the Pharisees on Jesus Christ, as they exploited the woman. See how they exploited the woman? They weren't interested in this woman. They couldn't care less about this woman, but they used this woman, taken in adultery, to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. And it provides us a vivid picture of the darkness that had befallen Israel. They came to Jesus in their darkness. Oh, the light of the world is Jesus. The whole world is lost in the darkness of sin. And Israel was in their darkness, and they came to Jesus in their darkness, attempting to use darkness as a weapon against the light of the world. But by the use of this single sentence, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Oh, we ought to remember that as we think of others as sinners, and yet we do not think of ourselves as sinners. Oh, how we look at others and condemn others because of what they're doing. But our heart is dark sometimes, is it not? He shed light upon their own sinfulness and caused darkness to flee. Don't you like that when you turn the light on in at night? You stumble, you stub your toe on the way to the bathroom. You turn the light on. Oh, light, I can see. But the passage of Scripture given to us in the first 11 verses of the 8th chapter of John demonstrates the power of the light of God. The world needs the light of Jesus Christ. What a dark world we're moving into, are we not? You know, those of us who have spent our life mostly in the last century saw darkness in the world wars and the Korean War and the other wars of the world and the sin and the corruption in the country as morality went by the board. But the world needs the light of Jesus Christ. For the world lies in darkness because Satan's realm operates in darkness. For darkness is a necessary environment for him to be successful. Satan operates in darkness. Darkness does not allow man to see, and the devil likes it that way. He operates in darkness, for his deeds, what? Are evil. If a man is blind, the devil can lead him in the direction that he wishes him to go. You know, a poor blind man is waiting to cross the street. You can lead him any way you want. You don't have to lead him across the street. The devil will come along and lead him down the wrong road because he's blind. Darkness is confusion for man, and that is the way Satan prefers it. Jesus comes along, and he says to these Pharisees who walk in darkness, who love darkness because they're Satan's minions, and he says, I'm the light of the world. Now, a blind man, a man who has lived in darkness all of his life, asks, what is light? He doesn't even know what light is. You know, I didn't know what light was before I was saved. I walked in darkness. I was blind. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the contrast. So the blind man says, what is light? He does not know what light is because he is dead to light. How do you know about light if you've never walked in the light? How can a man who has never seen light know what light is? A blind man must, by something outside himself, be made to see. There's nothing that he can do to see light. There's nothing within him that he can do to see light. He must have something outside himself for him to see light. He must be given the power to know that he is in darkness. This book told me I was in darkness. This book told me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This book told me that I was blind and that Jesus Christ was the light of the world. So he must be given the power to know that he is in darkness and that he can walk if he is given light by which to see. What an understanding that the blind man has to have in order to find light. In this passage, Jesus tells the people how to walk in the light as he continues to instruct the people in the temple. He refuses to let the rude interruptions of the scribes and the Pharisees stop him from teaching the people by himself. So he sits again and begins to teach. Continues to be about his Father's business. You know, Jesus Christ had a direction like no other. He says, I must be about my Father's business. You know, are we like that in the body of Christ? Are we about the Father's business? We have people working in this ministry about the Father's business. Are you working in your ministry about the Father's business? For Jesus continues to do this, and he does not let the evil works against him hinder his mission to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, it would be so easy to get discouraged. But did Jesus Christ get discouraged? He didn't even get discouraged knowing that he was headed for the cross. So we read in John 8:12, Then spake Jesus again unto them. This is the people that had assembled, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a promise that is. What a promise that is for the child of God. I follow Christ. If I follow Christ, I'm going to walk in the light. I'm not going to be in darkness. But if you don't follow Christ, you walk in darkness. You stumble around. You don't go down the wrong path. But here he promises us, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now in the temple court where Jesus was speaking, stood a great golden candelabra, which was lighted on the night of the Feast of Tabernacles, among other nights during the year. It symbolized the Shekinah glory light, which had guided Israel on its wilderness journeys and which had shone for centuries in Solomon's temple. It had departed from the city prior to the Babylonian invasion and never lighted the second temple. So the Jews, trying to keep up appearances, that's what they were all about, you know, trying to keep up appearances, provided this great candelabra, which was a make-believe shekinah. So it's in this context that Jesus Christ pronounces his second I am in the book of John. He earlier said, I am, what? The bread of life. Oh, I'm the light of life. I'm the light of the world. He had previously told us, I'm the bread. How important it is to eat bread and how important it is to walk in the light. And both of these are Jesus Christ. So he was a glory and a light far greater than the one that shone in the first temple before him. And Jesus here is claiming a distinguishing mark of the Messiah. You read the scriptures, and Jesus Christ checked all the boxes. It's impossible to deny that Jesus Christ is the Messiah if you have a mind that is honest and true. He checked all the boxes, and this was a distinguishing mark of the Messiah. He is claiming without a doubt that he is God. If you read Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And in Isaiah 49:6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So the Old Testament abounds in references to the Word of God as light. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp, what? Unto my feet. Oh, how your feet need light. You know, we were talking about that in the fall, how your feet need light to walk and a light unto my path. Jesus invites them to walk in the light by following him because he is the light. You know, if you want to stay in the light, what do? You follow Jesus Christ, who is the light. You know, I have a nice flashlight. I have one of these LED flashlights that can see from here to Mars. You know, if I shine it up, the people are there Martians? They can see my light. That's my help in the darkness. But my help all my life throughout eternity is Jesus Christ, who is the light. He does not hold the light. He does not shine the light. The light is not outside of him. He is the light. He's the light. You know, we think about somebody holding the light. We think about some outside source. But Jesus Christ, the man God, is the light. He tells them that if they do not follow him, they are automatically walking in darkness. There's no in-between. Christian, there's no in-between. God gave one light, and that is Jesus Christ. There's no other source of light. Boy, that's a message the world does not want to hear. The world says, oh, there's many ways to God. There's many lights. Follow this light. Yeah, that light will lead to darkness. That light will lead to destruction. That light is on the broad way. Get on the narrow way, for there's only one source. It is either Jesus or what? The spiritual darkness of the world. The sons of light come to the light, and the sons of darkness will remain in the darkness. He tells them that those who follow him, those who commit themselves without reservation to him, will have the light of life, which means that the light that he is brings life. You know, I love life. I love the life of Christ because it's eternal life. I have eternal life. If you know Christ, you have eternal life, and you shall never die. Well, what about the time when I'm in the casket? Oh, you'll be with the Lord. That's just that old body. You want to take this old body with you? Not me. I want to leave it here. I'm done with it. When God calls me home, you know, God teaches us so much in this life, just in the way we get old and we age, because we start saying, you know, this body's just not that good anymore. I don't think I want to live in this house. I want a new house. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Don't you think that includes the new body? But he is the one that, if followed, will provide a lighted path for the believer so that the believer does not walk in doubt or confusion, but can see the way that he is going. Isn't the Word of God so good for you? Think about all the mistakes, all the errors, all the trials and difficulties you would go through if you didn't have the Word of God. Just think about that. All the things that it kept you from, all the things that it pushed you into going down. But without his light, there is no spiritual life. You're dead in sin without his light. There is no true knowledge, no true holiness, no true happiness while dwelling in darkness. While dwelling in darkness, there are no absolutes. Oh, this world is so confused. There's no absolutes. Well, you know, it's obvious there are absolutes. But according to this world, if you walk in darkness, there's no absolutes, there's no principles, because darkness cannot reveal an enduring path. How can you find the enduring path in darkness? But belief reveals the future. Unbelief sees no future, because it exists in darkness, for unbelief has no eyes. You know, when I walked in darkness, I had no eyes. But when Christ came into my life and I was born again, you know what happened? I got eyes. I didn't need contact lenses. I had 20/20 vision, because the vision is here in the book. Faith provides the eyes to see what is ahead. By faith, God's plan is revealed to the follower of the light. Darkness, what is darkness? Cries out. Go this way. No, no, wait, maybe this way. Oh, no, no, go this way. Oh, this way. Oh, there's a multitude of ways to go, but which way is the right way? None of those are the right way. For it has no capability to absolutely know the path of life. But Jesus said, he is the light that reveals the path. You know, we sang about that this morning, didn't we? Go down that path. He makes no mistake. He knows the path, for he is the light. He is the true light, and therefore he is the only source of life. All others who call themselves light, whether it be Buddha calls himself light, Confucius say, I'm light. Krishna, Muhammad is not the light. Allah is not the light. Or the New Age lights, they're deceiving, they're false lights, and they dwell in darkness. How can you not believe that they dwell in darkness when you see what's going on in the world? John says this in John 1:9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So in John 8:13, the Pharisees respond. This is the heart of the Pharisees. And why do they respond this way? Because they're in darkness, they can't see. Therefore said unto them, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Oh, they're know-it-alls, you know. They're know-it-alls. The Pharisees were astounded. Here was a man that they knew had been born amongst themselves, claiming the attributes of God. Well, they didn't know the scriptures, did they? This cannot be, so they call him a liar. How'd you like to stand before God as the one who called his son a liar? Depart and cast him into the lake of fire. They would not accept. They would accept that God is the light of the world, but they could not accept what Jesus said as true. I am the light of the world. They were in darkness, and darkness, it says, cannot comprehend the light. Darkness has no capacity to know light. Darkness is trapped in darkness and is totally incapable of knowing light. You know, that's the world says, oh, that's not true. We're going to find truth. We're going to study. We're going to discover. We're going to go down this road, and eventually we'll know truth. No, you won't, because you're in darkness. So Jesus answered in John 8, 14 and 15 and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came. They didn't know where he came. Jesus Christ knew where he came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge what? After the flesh. I judge no man. So the Pharisees were absolute in their judgment. Foolish. Fools. They took a stand upon a faulty foundation. How quick they were to judge by appearance. So Jesus rebukes them for judging after the flesh. By judging by logic and reason, when they had not all the facts to make a righteous judgment. They presumed to know from where he came. They did not know that. They looked back 30 years. That was their breadth of look. That was how far they could look. 30 years. And they saw Nazareth. This one is from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Boy, Nazareth had a bad name. You know, it was one of those little local yokel towns. We're from Jerusalem. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So anybody that came out of Nazareth had that tag. But Jesus looked back past 30 years and he saw the glories of heaven. Don't you think that at times Jesus remembered the glories of heaven? And now he was down in this place called earth. He looked back and he saw that he had come out of eternity. He had a full view of himself and therefore could say that his record was true. He had a perfect knowledge of his eternal existence. No created being knows his own history. You know, you don't remember when you were born, do you? Unless you're really exceptional. I don't know. I don't remember when I was born. I was told that I was born on Whipple Street in Chicago. Whipple Street, can you imagine be born on that? But I don't know. Long time ago. And I don't even remember the first 2 or 3 years of my life, do you? First memories are maybe kindergarten. But Jesus Christ knows his complete history. He knew every moment of the infinite past and every moment of the infinite future. He was sure that he came from the Father, that he was going to the Father, and he was sure that he knew the way, for he was the way. That is why he could say with absolute certainty, "Follow me, for I am the light of life." You can depend upon Christ. You'll never go astray with Christ. For he says, "I will light the way for you." But they were ignorant of his true origin and his destiny. They should have said, "We don't know where you truly came from, and we don't know where you are going." If they were honest, that's what they would say. But they had these preconceived, prejudiced thoughts, and they expressed those thoughts by calling him a liar. They were in complete ignorance of his heavenly nature and character, and totally incompetent to form an opinion, and even less to pass a judgment. There's a lesson here for us as Christians, how quickly we arrive at conclusions without knowing the facts. So he tells them he judges no man. Perhaps he is saying here that he judges no man like they judge him. He does not judge after the flesh. He judges according to spiritual and divine principles. He judges righteously. You know, that's how we're to act. That's how we're to judge, righteously, not leaning to the right or to the left. Oh, the ideologies of today are so strong on the right or to the left, but we're to judge righteously. And in verse 16 through 18, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." So Jesus tells them that if he judges, his judgment is true. True judgment is not according to appearance, not by carnal principles, but by spiritual principles. Man judges visible acts. Jesus judges what? The heart. He judges the inner being. He knows what's going on in your heart. Man judges in haste. How quickly we add our voice to the situation without knowing anything about it. Jesus waits on the Father and seeks his will. He judges the same as the Father. If that is so, then it is obvious that his judgment is true. And he also remarks further that the law requires the testimony of two to establish what is true. If two agree to something, the law validated that which was agreed as true. That was the law. If two agreed on something, then the law said that's true. In other words, it assumed honesty on the part of two witnesses. Jesus Christ says that he is one witness and the Father is the other. You think this satisfied the Pharisees and the scribes? No, that didn't satisfy them. But Jesus Christ bore personal witness to his divine person and mission, and the Father bore witness to him in the prophecies of the Old Testament. He bore witness through the testimony of his servant John the Baptist, and he bore witness to him at the Jordan when John baptized Jesus, and the Father announced, what? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wouldn't you love to have that said about you when you face God? "Come, my beloved son. Come, my beloved daughter. I am well pleased." You know, that song we sang, "When I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." Now, when you come forth as gold, standing before the judgment seat of Christ, wouldn't you like to have, "Welcome, my son, my daughter, for I'm well pleased." And Jesus remembered this before the Pharisees, that the law says two witnesses, and the Bible is replete with the witness of Christ. Christ is indeed the light of the world. And if you follow Jesus Christ, you'll never, never, never walk in darkness, will you? Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for the wonderful scripture that we have read this morning. Lord, help us to walk in the light, never, never, never to deviate from that. And we can walk in the light because we have your word. We can read the word, we can study the word to see whether or not we're approved of God, and then walk in the light, for Jesus is the light of the world. Bless us now, Father, as we go to our service this morning. Bless our faithful pastor as he speaks to us of the light of the world, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.